From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. Many people were injured in the attacks on the World Trade Center. Those with the most serious burns are being treated at the Burn Center at New York Presbyterian Hospital. NPR's Melissa Block visited the center. She has this report on the patients and those working to keep them alive.
Manu Dhingra lay in his hospital bed on Monday, his arms a scarred patchwork of skin grafts, his fingers blistered and peeling, poked out of mesh bandages. Turning gingerly on his side, he managed a joke about his puffy pink face.
It's like a nice tan, I think. You know, like the joke is that it's like a chemical peel people pay a lot of money for, and I got one for free.
Dhingra is 27, and he worked trading tech stocks with Andover Brokerage on the 83rd floor of the World Trade Center.
We just moved into that office about a month ago. Believe it or not, it was always, like, ever since I was a little kid, it was always my dream to be in, like, the World Trade Center. You know, it's ironic, actually.
On September 11th, he was a little late getting to work. It was just before 9 when he stepped off the elevator on the 83rd floor.
One of the doors that was open, like, it just exploded, and I was just caught in a ball of fire in the hallway. I thought it was pretty much over. You know, I thought, like, God, just make this very quick and painless and just make it just go away, you know?
Dhingra had suffered burns over 34% of his body, to his face, his arms, back, chest, and ankles. He had just enough energy to stagger into his office and collapse.
A couple of my friends are like, Manu, you have to get up. There's nobody's going to come up here. We're very far up. Nobody's going to come up here. If you don't get up, you're not going to make it.
So flanked by his friends, one in front, one in back, Dhingra started to walk down 83 flights. The pain was excruciating, so terrible his friends couldn't touch him, much less carry him.
And my friends kind of lied to me, you know, I was on the 60th floor, and they're like, only a few more floors to go, you know, otherwise, because I was, like, so dehydrated, I was, like, almost about to faint. But I thought about this later, but when I finally made it down almost to the 10s and, like, 15s, I see all these emergency workers and firefighters, you know, they're running up the stairs, and later on, obviously, you know, like, the thought comes in your mind, hopefully some of them made it back down, but, you know, most likely a lot of them didn't.
But Manu Dhingra did make it to an ambulance and then to the burn center at New York Presbyterian. It's the largest such burn unit in the country. When New York City firefighters are badly burned, this is where they come. So when one and then two planes hit the World Trade Center, the hospital activated its disaster plan. The staff emptied the intensive care unit, anticipating a flood of victims.
I was envisioning hundreds, and we were sort of in that mindset.
Dr. Roger Yurt, director of the burn center, says the hospital received 9 burn victims early on, then a few more trickled in every hour, and then nothing. The massive influx of people they expected to be able to try to save never materialized.
In a way, we were hoping we would get more, you know, because that would mean more survivors. And it was a strange feeling.
In all, the burn center received 21 patients. 3 of them have died. One had 100% burns and couldn't be resuscitated. 2 others died from their burns and lung failure. The rest are being cared for in this intensive care unit. 8 of them have very large, deep burns and are hooked up to respirators. They're heavily sedated, barely conscious, unable to speak.
This patient has a large burn, about 83% of her body's burned. She's had all of her back, both of her legs, and one of her arms grafted at this point. But she's still critically ill, still on a respirator, still has a long way to go.
These patients are extremely vulnerable to potentially lethal infection and will be for several months.
We're talking in the patients with the larger burns, a chance of survival of about 20%.
For those critical patients who do beat the odds and survive, Dr. Yurt says their minds will grant them a gift.
At the end, the patients with the very severe burns frequently don't remember anything about their hospitalization, even though it may be 2 months long, which in a way is fortunate. The mind sort of blocks that out, or because of the sedation, it never really impacts and makes an imprint.
Fire resident to the tank, please. Fire resident to the tank. Need West tank.
Here in the tank, or hydrotherapy room, the patients are laid on sheets of plastic on stainless steel tables. The dressings are painstakingly removed from their burns. The doctors and nurses peel away the dead skin, and the wounds are cleansed with sprays of water.
Just lift your leg up.
The patient on this table is under heavy sedation, but the nurses reassure her anyway. Okay, sweetheart, they say. Okay, hon, you're okay. 80% of her body is covered with angry burns, her skin red and pink and black. But Dr. Yurt doesn't sound discouraged.
She looks good. She's got a very big burn, and her grafts look like they're taking, so...
In the past 2 weeks, the hospital has used two-thirds of the amount of skin it used for grafts in an entire year last year. They're worried about a shortage.
We need 4 more packs of allograft in the operating room.
So all is used already, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Allograft is donated cadaver skin, and the hospital's skin bank coordinator, Heather Jacobs, is watching her supplies dwindle. Even though skin is banked only from cadavers, Jacobs has been getting calls from lots of eager would-be live donors.
Oh, many people. We've got calls from people from all over saying that they'd like to donate their skin right now. I mean, I'll fly in, I'll do this. I keep telling them the amount of tissue that we need to cover our burns, it's a lot. You know, and you just can't give it. It's just not done.
Because of the number of patients and the large size of the burns, the nursing staff here is overwhelmed. Their staffing needs have doubled, and they've been bringing in dozens of nurses to help out from around the country. Bob Dembicki is the nurse manager.
The wound care alone takes hours on these people, and that's with 2 or 3 people doing the wound care. So you're not talking a 10-minute dressing change. The dressing changes on these people can take 2 to 2.5 hours, and that's twice a day.
Being a burn unit nurse is a stressful job under any conditions, but Dembicki says this case is especially traumatic for the staff.
The families are here, and they're hanging on to every thread of hope they can. It's hard not to walk around with your heart in your throat half the day. Just the sheer enormity of this whole situation makes it harder on everybody. Not that people don't dive right in and do what we've always done. You just do it with a lot more emotion. And I think it's okay to show that emotion with a family. You know, it's a hug to a family member, and maybe you shed a few tears with them because that's the way the day is going.
The walls here are papered with cards and letters sent by school children from all over the country. Posted just inside one patient's room is a note from a 7th grader in Mentor, Ohio. What you have gone through was terrible, it says. You must have been scared. I would be too. You're lucky you're alive, considering how many people died. Yesterday, 27-year-old Manu Dhingra became the first of the critically burned patients to be discharged from the burn center. He left for his Manhattan apartment, curious to see what the new, closer New York feels like, and thankful for what he calls his second chance.
I have to live for something now, and it just can't be for myself anymore. It's pretty easy just to be optimistic and upbeat because it's just... There's so much that has happened, you know, that has brought everybody down, and I'm just looking forward to, like, doing some good things with my life and making people proud.
Melissa Block, NPR News, New York.